hear what's coming up. Good. Let's welcome Brad.
Okay. Huh? No, I want it right there. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Childlike faith. How many of you got that today? You know, that's what we're supposed to have. So we're going to do a little some things that are kind of childlike this morning. But, you know, there was a, I want to start with a story of a young man who, back in the days of the telegraph, who knows what a telegraph was? It was one of the only, what? You're that old? I knew I'd get somebody. Telegraph was the only form of communication. You know, that's that rat-a-tat-tat where they would tap on the wire and they could hear it, you know, all wherever it was going. And young man applied for a job. He saw a job in the paper, and so he wanted the job as a telegraph operator. And he goes in, and he's almost late, and he goes in, and there's all this, it's a room just full of people, and you could hear the rat-a-tat-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat-tat, and so there was a big sign on the window saying, if you're here to apply for the job, please fill out the form and wait to be summoned to come in for your interview. So the young man, he goes and gets the paper, fills it out, hands it back in, and he notices there's seven other guys sitting there, and he sits down in the whole row. And all of a sudden, he decides that he was kind of looking at his stopwatch. He, back then, they had the, you know, the pocket watches. And he was looking at that, and he was kind of fidgeting around. And then next thing you know, he jumps up in front of all the other seven, and he goes into the office. And the seven are kind of indignant and wondering what's going on. And matter of fact, some of them even thought he probably is going to lose his opportunity, because now he just ran in there. Like, he wasn't even asked to go in. So he's, at least it's just up to seven now. At least he's got it here. But a few minutes later, the boss comes out with this young man. And he says, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming out, but the job has been filled by this young man. The other applicants begin to grumble. The one spoke up saying, wait a minute, I don't understand something. He was the last one to come in, and we never got a chance to even to be interviewed. Yet he got the job. That's not fair. That's not fair. Well, the employer said, I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting there, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in, the job is yours. That was the message. What's your spiritual ears hearing today? Are you able to hear the rat-a-tat-tat of what the Spirit of God is saying in your life? God uses many means to demonstrate his care, not only through his word, but his Spirit and the ministry of Christian friends, but also through the unconventional methods, like burning bushes, talking donkeys, hungry creatures of the sea, visiting angels, a bright star in the darkened sky. We only need to be alert of the signs. I mean, the wind blows. The rain can come down. You can hear God in so many different ways. But are we listening for the rat-a-tat-tat? Are you listening for God in your life? Well, that's what this message is all about today. And if you want to turn with your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And it says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Do we know everything there is? Are we good at that? Do you hear that preached an awful lot about the spiritual gifts? You know, I submit to you, it's probably not. And it's partly because the body of Christ in some circles has gotten too big. The churches have gotten too big. And let's say we had 1,000 people sitting here watching me today, and God began to move, and the Spirit of God began to move, and you had 50 people who all wanted to give a word from God, it would be confusing. It would be utterly chaotic. And that's one thing preachers who have 1,000-member churches don't want, is chaos. God doesn't want it either. God is a God of order, and we'll get into that in a minute. But the fact is that we have an advantage being a church of this size, at least for the time being, until we grow much larger, is that if God wants, if we listen and we learn, everyone in this church could be used in the spiritual gifts. But he doesn't want us to be ignorant about them. He wants us to understand how they work and understand how to behave in the working of it and a few things like that. So the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about three pillars of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that must be present in order for it to be orderly and received properly. If you came to church today and you think it was just an ordinary message, you're wrong. Today you're going to learn how to hear from God, understand how to be a blessing to the church in a new and vibrant way. And all I ask is that you give me in the next 20 minutes of your time so that we can focus in on what God is saying to you today. So the first thing is humility. I've got this bag here. It appears to be empty to me. I don't know, does it look empty to you? I never said stick your hand in there. I know you were thinking about it, weren't you?
It looks that way.
The interesting thing about empty bags is they rarely are empty. In the eyes of God, sometimes they have stuff in them. I thought you said it was empty. This particular box represents humility, and I just picked that out because I thought it was kind of a neat object lesson. But you know, it's also blue, which represents the Holy Spirit. And out of the God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is human. Humility is what his name is almost. He gives all the glory to Jesus. He gives it all back to God, but the power is in him. He does the power. He's the power guy. And they're all in one. I understand that. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, landed on Jesus in the form of a dove, did he not? So this is the dove, if you can imagine that. Humility is, and in order to understand humility, just go jump from where we're at there in verse 1 down to verse 11, in 12, verse 11 on 1 Corinthians. And it says, I didn't mark this one with no wonder I got it buried. The body is one unit, though it is made up of many, many parts. And that whole chapter there that half of the chapter is all talking about the body. And part of it teaches that even the most humble parts of our body are important to the gifts of the Spirit. They are important to God. Even the most humble parts are sometimes even more important than the eyes or the mouth or the brain. For the humble parts are just as much part of the body. And let me tell you something. If you stub your toe in the morning getting out of bed, you'll know that that little toe is part of the body. It lets you know. It lets you know right away. Now, nobody likes to look at their toes, maybe, and nobody likes to let other people look at your toes, but it's an important part of the body. Okay. I want to check this bag again, make sure there's nothing in there. You want to... What? Is there anything in there?
Yep.
It appears to. Want to stick your hand in there and just make sure there's nothing in there? What? That wasn't even nice, was it? Looks empty, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's really not. I didn't mean to do that. She jumped so hard, I kind of feel bad. The second. I want to call these pillars, even though they're not standing up, I want to call them pillars because if we can hang these pillars, if on these pillars we're going to hang that whole chapter of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're going to hang on these pillars. And so the second pillar that needs to be in place is the pillar of love. And so when you're talking about the pillar of love, doesn't it remind you of Jesus? And Jesus representing in the blood. And the pillar of love is verse, we're just going to go here to 14:1. And it says, listen to this in 14:1. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Excuse me. Did anybody follow that? Who heard the rat-a-tat-tat? No, love. No, I'm just, it is eagerly. Eagerly desire is totally connected to love. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire. Can you separate those two in that verse? The way of love eagerly desires to have gifts. Why? Because the gifts are not of God are not for an individual. Primarily, they are for the edification, exhortation to the church. They're for our good, for everybody's good. They're not a selfish gift. They're founded in love. And if you're giving a word that's not founded in love, you're missing it. You're missing it. If you give a word that's not founded in love, you're missing the mark. Promise. A promise. Follow love. Love desires. Okay, if you just go over here to 31 of verse 12, it says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So there's lesser and greater gifts, but eagerly desire the greater gifts, like prophecy. Prophecy is one of the greater gifts because it edifies the church. And it also says over here in 14, verse 12, so it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. Now, I'm not talking to 50 and over. I'm not talking to 40 and over in years of age, if you know what I mean. I'm not talking to 30-year-olds and over. I mean, if you're in this room today, you qualify. If you love Jesus with all your heart and you've received him into your life and you are born again child of God, you qualify to be used for all the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts that we're going to be talking about are not the gifts of being a prophet or evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. No, these are gifts for the layman, for the general people who come to church. That's the second pillar. And the third pillar, which is extraordinary, in my opinion, because on this pillar, whether it works in a church, this pillar is absolutely necessary for the gifts of Spirit to flow properly in a church. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so we're going to get into it. It's called the gift of self-control. Say it with me. Self-control. That's not a hard one. But it's exceedingly, exceedingly important. So we're going to see what we got in this empty bag here. And sure enough, we got another one. God the Father, he is a God of order. And so should the workings of the Holy Spirit be in the church. The verse I wanted to use in this teaching is 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going way over to verse 32. Read that very carefully. It says this, well, just a second here. I may have jumped ahead farther than what I want. That's okay, here we go. For all of you can prophesy in turn that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. What was prophecy for? Instruction and encouragement. Got it? Very important. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophet, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet himself. God may very well speak to me to give a word, but I'm in control. I'm in control of that spirit. God is not sort of pushing you to say something. You know what I mean? He's a gentleman of the greatest kind. He won't make you receive a word. He won't make you speak in other tongues. He won't make you receive a gift of healing. But that's up to you. You are in control of what you allow happen to you. You know, the Bible says that if you ask God for something, he won't give you a snake. If you ask him for a good gift, he will not give you a snake. You cannot be afraid of the gifts of God, because if you are, you won't receive them. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not do that to you. But you have to believe in your heart that when God gives you a gift, it's a special, holy gift, and it has no corruption in it. It has no snake in it. Do you understand that? Does that make any sense to you? The gifts of God are very, very special and can be offend, and you can offend the Holy Spirit very easily by just dismissing it. Just dismissing, oh, that's nothing. Oh, you just dismiss it into the air. But it's very important that when you hear a word from God, or something pops into your mind, or suddenly you feel a sharp pain in your wrist, maybe that's the gift of healing speaking to you. And you can then say, I believe there's somebody here who has something happening to their wrist, and I believe if you let me pray for you, we can get that thing healed. Well, it takes two. It takes a great amount of faith to be able to speak that word, doesn't it? I mean, what is the devil first thing he says? Well, nobody's going to respond. Nobody here has a sore head. That's all in your head. It means it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. That's one of the first tactics that the enemy will use against you. Oh, what if somebody thinks bad of me? What if somebody thinks I'm stupid? Or what if somebody thinks I'm grandstanding? That's another one. Go way over the top. What if somebody thinks that I'm being prideful? Go way over the top and say, so who do you think you are using, saying that God will heal somebody? You know what I mean? The devil uses all kinds of tricks to try to grasp a gift that he wants to give to the body away from the body. He uses all kinds of tricks. Well, we're not going to fall for those tricks because God's got his own tricks. I'm just kidding. Veiled reference to my trick. So are you excited about the gifts of the Spirit? I mean, just talk a little bit more about this orderly movement of the Holy Spirit in the church. If you back up to verse 27 of 14, it says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak at one time, and someone must interpret. But the part I want you to understand in this is if two or three, say it with me, two or three. So what if there's four people who've got tongues? The fourth one should sit down and be quiet. Just that simple. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. It's more important to have order in the moving of the gifts of the Spirit than it is for you to get your gift out. Gift is secondary. If you think your word will be offensive, just relax, sit down. It's okay. God is not a person who's going to push you out and make you do something that you don't want to do. That being said, he rejoices in those who will, like, try. And you don't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be a perfect word. Matter of fact, most times it's not. But all of a sudden, there'll be something in that word that'll click. Something, somebody was praying before they got here, and boom, it clicks, and God heard me. And faith arises, and they're able to receive that healing, receive that anointing, receive that direction from God that they were wondering if it was really God or not. You know, there's all kinds of ways the Spirit can use the gifts of the Spirit in the church. And down in 29 it says, two or three prophets should speak, and others should weigh carefully what's being said. Now this is something that was reminded to me when I was studying this, and it was saying, when was the word given here? When the gifts of Spirit are given is at the time of the worship, at the time of the execution, or really shortly therein. For instance, nobody should get up and say that they had a gift of the Spirit that they got last Monday, 2 weeks ago, Monday, 2 weeks ago. I got this word 2 weeks ago, Monday. That's different. If you got a word 2 weeks ago, Monday, you should have given it to the pastor and let him read it. And then you know, if he wants to teach it or if he wants to share the letter, that's great. But the orderly fashion of the Spirit, it lives in the moment. The Spirit of God is present here and now, not 2 weeks ago. I mean, he was there 2 weeks ago too. But the fact is that when the Spirit of God moves, it's for the present, here and now. And, you know, I just really, really wanted to emphasize this, because if you allow yourself to think more highly of yourself than you ought, all of a sudden you're going home and all week long you're thinking, what word should I give on Sunday that would really impress? That's just the wrong spirit. Can't you feel it? Doesn't that feel wrong? But in the midst of worship, in the midst of worshiping God with all you got and listening to the words of the song, you got your hands up and the Spirit of God begins to drop something into your heart, whether it's a picture, a song, or a hymn, or a tongue, or an interpretation of, or singing of tongues. Who's ever heard singing of tongues? I used to sing in tongues all the time. Matter of fact, the first time I ever got to sing in tongues was in my tractor. I was picking rocks. Anybody else sing in tongues, picking rocks? Nope, nobody picking rocks today. But I was picking rocks and I was singing in tongues and I thought I had invented a new song. And I was singing to my heart's content and I was just a-going and all of a sudden I realized it was a song I had known my whole life. But I was singing it with words that I've never heard in my whole life. And it was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. You know, that was one song I sang. It didn't matter before I got saved, I sang it like a lot. I don't know why. It was a great song, especially if I'd been drinking a little bit. Amazing Grace, how great thou art. Woo! Well, now that song had become so new to me that I didn't even recognize it when I was singing it in the Spirit. I didn't even recognize the tune. But yet, there it was. It took me a whole day. I sang that song for a whole day. I know you think I'm crazy. Well, I probably was a little bit. The Spirit of God was doing something really unique in my life in those days. And that was just such an amazing revelation that I could be singing this song for a whole day, not recognize it, and yet it was a song I was probably most familiar with. But because it had tongues, I didn't understand it, and my mind was unfruitful, but boy, was I ever being built up in the Spirit. The Bible says if a man prays in the Spirit, he edifies himself. Whew, I was edified that day. Okay, we're going to go back now. Have we kind of clarified the three pillars? Humility, love, and self-control. I want to just say to this congregation, if you're willing to have those three characteristics, just feel free to move in the gifts of the Spirit. The way it should work in this church is you got your pastor here. You should come forward. You can't hear. If you're sitting back there, you can't hear. Now, Bill and I got big enough voices that we could probably make you hear, but we shouldn't be yelling. Am I on, by the way? Okay, that's it. I didn't even know I was on. He does such a good job of sound. But even if it wasn't on, you could probably hear my voice. Turn me off for a second. But some people have a timid voice. You can turn me back on now. Some people have a timid voice. That's going to sound really funny on the tape, isn't it? Hello, I just said something really good and you missed it. It's really interesting okay, that's enough of that. We're going to go right back to 12. There's two more things that we need to talk about before we get into the meat of this word. And I wanted to, today, I really want us to be able to receive a few of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many would think that would be kind of cool? Desire, how many? Desire, spiritual gifts, how many? I don't see your hand up. Come on. Yeah, there we go. That was a little forcing. I don't think the Holy Spirit does that. Come on now. Three times I showed you. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. Three times within one chapter, it says desire spiritual gifts. How many desire spiritual gifts in everybody? Amen. Man, we almost got three quarters of you to put your hand up. Man, that was tricky. What do I have to say to get everybody to put their hand up? Huh? Tim, any idea? No. Smart Alex, they're born a mere minute. Okay. In verse 2, first of all, it says we're not supposed to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So if you felt ignorant coming in, you won't be ignorant when you leave. You know what ignorant means? You just don't understand. You've never heard of it before. You just have never read that part before. It's never been preached to you before. There's a whole bunch of reasons you may be ignorant. It's not the kind of ignorant where you're sure ignorant. That's not the kind of ignorant that Paul is using here. Maybe he is. I'm not sure. Okay, verse 2, it says, you know that when you were pagans, were you a pagan? Now nobody nods at all. Couple of nodders. When you were a pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by dumb idols. What's a dumb idol? Don't shout me down now. What is a dumb idol? Yes, it is. Usually an object, but dumb idols can be horoscopes. Dumb idol. If you read your horoscopes every day and you think that they're some kind of enlightening you about something, trust me, all it is hindering you in the spirit from receiving a word from God. Your life is not run by a horoscope, by some moon, some cryptic sign in the stars. No. Horoscope is not of God. If it's not of God, it's of the devil. Period. Don't mess with it. Why entertain that? What else? You go to the fair and there's that horoscope lady with the little ball in the middle of the table. You going to give her the time of day or him? Absolutely not, unless it's to pray against it. That's what you should be doing when you're outside that tent. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I bind the evil spirits that would try to cause people to stumble. In Jesus' name, we cast it down and we render it ineffective, and that there be no spiritual power of the enemy released by that tent. Amen. That's how you pray. And then you go over to it and you lay hands on it. And when she comes out, you say, you know, even fortune tellers can be saved. That's what you do. That's how you attack. My pet peeve is, personal pet peeve, I'm already getting a look from my family, fortune cookies. I don't need a fortune cookie to tell me what good's going to happen to me today. I got the word of God. I'm not going to look at some old fortune cookie and make it be my answer to my daily whim. I will not look at a fortune cookie. I hate fortune cookies. They even taste bad. That's true. So if you want to rely on fortune cookies, or what about a little rabbit's foot? A poor little rabbit. He didn't do nothing. But you're going to think you're going to get lucky because of a rabbit's foot? Or some other kind of fetish. Maybe you think your smokes are really, really important. You couldn't live without them. Trust me, if you put your smokes on the up here, God can deliver you from the feeling of wanting a smoke. If you lay your drugs on the altar of Jesus Christ, He will deliver you from the smokes. They don't have to be running your life. If you can't keep your mouth from saying the Lord's name in vain, you better lay it on the cross and believe God to get rid of that thing. Swearing is not part of a Christian's life. I can prove that to you. It says it right there. It says, therefore I tell you that anyone who's speaking by the Spirit of God, or it says, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. Right? No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And you certainly can't use the Lord's name in vain without having deep conviction and knowing that you're doing something terribly wrong. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He bled on that cross. You don't use His name in vain because you think it's cool or something cool to do, or because it sounds cool. If you find yourself using the Lord's name in vain, you should immediately run to the bathroom and wash your mouth out with soap. That's what your mother should do to you anyway, or your father. And if they won't do it, you should do it to yourself. After all, you're the one who is really accountable to God. Wash it out with soap. I guarantee you, if you wash your mouth out 2-3 times, you probably won't use it so much anymore. Soap doesn't taste very good. Am I preaching too hard? Man. Don't be led astray by dumb idols, folks. That's all I'm saying. That's what the Bible says. That's good preaching. Don't be led astray by dumb idols. Jesus is Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. Jesus is Lord. If you get somebody knocking at your door, one of the things you can say, is Jesus God? Is Jesus capital L-O-R-D? If they say no, you know they're a cult. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's something about the power of the name of Jesus that causes people to stumble if you ask them if Jesus is Lord. And if you can't say that, if you don't have the conviction for that, you're not even saved. That's what it says. So every time, whenever I get the chance to talk to a Jehovah's Witness, that's what I want to ask them. Is Jesus Lord? Oh, no, he's, you born again don't understand. I should hope not understand what they're doing. We're understanding that we're born again, and that's a good thing. They don't want to be born again. It's the craziest thing I ever heard. And in the Mormons tradition, they believe that somehow Satan and Jesus are brother and sister. Well, give me a break. Jesus is part of the Trinity. He was with God when creation happened. There isn't anything you can see in the heavens or on earth or under the earth that wasn't made by Jesus. That's just the way it is. I'm not going to get all the scriptures for that right now. But Jesus is Lord. And why did it go into all these important things before it starts in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in that chapter? Because they're important. You can't have idols in your life and expect God to move in you in the gifts of the Spirit. You can't have other lords and expect God to move in the gifts of the Spirit and have you being used in the gifts of the Spirit if you don't have these things in order. If you don't have these things in order. Humility, self-control, and love. And so now we get into the fun part of the message. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but all by the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but by the same God. God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given the Spirit and the message of wisdom. I want to talk a little bit about this because this story is really interesting to me anyway. Dan and I were at Bill Wilson's church in Brooklyn, New York. Way out of our comfort zone, I might add, or at least out of mine. And I had gone with this little German girl. She wasn't more this high. And we were delivering a package of care goods to a young girl about 12 years old in an apartment somewhere in Brooklyn. Now, I had walked for about 4 hours. I was kind of tired. And we got to this place, and it's on the third floor. So we marched up to the third floor and knock on the door. Seemingly, right about that moment, all chaos broke out. And this guy from in the apartment started screaming and yelling, and he grabbed a knife from the drawer and pushed his way through the door, and out he ran down the hallway, and he was headed for somewhere, and he looked like trouble. So we had this package, and this little girl was standing there, a package for me? And she grabbed the package, she went over to the table, and she opened it up, and it was all kinds of spiritual gifts. And that chaos was kind of going on around, but this girl was oblivious to it. And the mother was hollering out the window now. There was things going on. It was just chaos. I'm telling you, it was just chaos. So I kind of wandered over to the window and looked out. And down, three stories down, there was like a mob. And it looked like something bad was about to happen. Like it was a big fight, like, gang fight. And I would say there was at least 50 people down there, and that was right where we came in the building. So the German girl come over, and we're waiting for this girl to open her package. And she said, that doesn't look very good. No, I said, that doesn't look very good at all. So this little girl, she opened her package, totally oblivious to what was going on. This guy comes running back in, screaming and yelling every four-letter word you could possibly imagine, grabbed more knives, and away he went. It was just nuts. It was just nuts, literally nuts. This girl, her job was to open the packages and then write a thank you note, and we were supposed to take the thank you note with us. So she was writing the thank you note, and all this stuff was going on, and I'm kind of wondering what God's up to, and it was really strange. It was just strange. And we got all done, and the little girl, this German girl, says to me, "Oh, well, what do you think we should do?" "Well, I think we should pray." So we prayed, looking for the word of wisdom. Got our minds open. We're listening for that telegraph. Tick, 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 tick. We're listening for it. "God, fill us with your wisdom. Help us understand what we're supposed to do. We know you sent us. We got this job done. What do we do now?" And I heard the voice of God so clearly say, "Finish the job you've come to do, and I will make a way." So I said to the girl, "We're supposed to finish the job we come here to do, and God will make a way." So we went up to the fifth floor, all the way to the top. We delivered some more goods. Nothing weird was going on there. Just delivered some good stuff, and everything was good. We walked down the steps. It takes quite a while to walk down the steps. And we opened the door to where all the chaos was. And we walked out, and it was like the sea parted. This mob split into two groups, went like this, and we just walked on through like as if we were invisible. I don't know. I don't think we were invisible. I could see myself. Not hard to miss me. You know, looking down, we had these shirts on with Yogi Bear. You know, Yogi Bear on, and I looked down, oh, it's still got the shirt on, you know. Matter of fact, that shirt had been used for 20 years by the ministry to allow them to get into places where normally you get beat up. But if you wore the shirt, it seemed like you were anointed and never got beat up. Anyway, I was glad I had the shirt on. Wow, word of wisdom is sometimes extremely important when you get into a perilous situation. I mean, what do you do sometimes? You don't know what to do. So between praying in tongues and believing God for a word, that's what you do. You listen for the tick, 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 and try to understand what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Do you always get it? No, you don't always get it. But that's what you try to do. Number two, second gift, is the gift of knowledge. Knowledge, usually current activities such as illness, like we talked about just a little bit earlier. Knowledge is an interesting gift because you can be sitting there and God could show you a photographic picture in your mind of an appendage of somebody in somebody's body. That could very well be the word of knowledge saying, God knows that this person needs to be healed in this particular part of their body, but you don't know the person. So all you know, all you see is a part. Faith takes two parts, especially the gifts of the Spirit. It's hard to find where these work on their own. Almost all of them require a receiver. You speak it, and if nobody receives it, it's a dead word. It's a dead word. But if you speak the word, and somebody says, "I was just praying that my colon would be healed." I just picked that out of the air. Whatever. I don't even know what a colon is. "But I was just praying that a colon be healed, and you had a word that somebody's colon was being healed. I receive it." And boom, a miracle can happen just like that. Just like the way the woman, when she touched the garment of Jesus, was healed. Healing went out from Jesus when she touched it. Because she said in her heart that if I could only touch the hem of the garment, I would be healed. The gifts of the Spirit are much the same, especially the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, boom, can cause something to happen in the supernatural that is not a gift, that is not you. Humility, it's not you. If God's doing it, it's not you. But yet, a word that you spoke and somebody else received, boom, a healing can come just like that. Or whatever it might be. It might not be healing. It might be something else. Because there is also the gift of healing. Okay. Number three, faith. Faith is usually a declaration against a mountain, etc. You know, saw Jesus saying, "If you say to the mountain, be thou removed." Well, he also spoke to a fig tree. I've also been in the presence of prophets who will see a storm coming in, especially when I was on a mission, a storm was coming in, you could tell, I mean, the big drops were already starting to fall, And they turned around and rebuked the storm and told it to hold off till the end of the meeting. And every once in a while, a big old drop would fall, but the meeting carried on until the very end, until it was totally done, until the praying was done. And then, let me tell you, did it ever unleash? But it wasn't until all the praying got done. That's another gift. That's a gift of faith. He had a gift of faith. His idea was, I didn't come all the way across the world to preach to you to be driven away by some little old storm. If God did it in the past, he can do it now. If God healed in the past, he'll do it now. You know, that's something we really got to remember, that God is no respecter of persons. He will not give a gift to one person over another person in this place. He is no respecter of persons. If you believe you've got a gift, it could be from the very youngest to the very oldest. It could be from the biggest to the littlest. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter if you're quiet, loud, obnoxious, irritating, meek, humble. I'll never say anything. God wants to speak to all of us and through all of us. No exception. No exception, right? God wants to speak through you. No exception. I know what you're saying, except me, right? No, that's not right. God wants to use you too. Amen? All right. Faith. Next one. Gift of healing. I want to tell another story. I was praying in Africa. Mark Anderson had set up a meeting along with Peter Youngren. Had these big meetings, 100,000 people. Mark Anderson organized that meeting for Peter Youngren, and then he organized a meeting for himself 3 hours away in a little town, and it was a little meeting. It had its own stage and everything, and he did exactly the same type of meeting Peter Youngren did, but just on a smaller scale. So I got to go along. And Hazel Hill, does anybody know that name? Hazel Hill is a Victory Churches of Canada, co-founder of the Victory Churches with George Hill, and myself, and an interpreter, and then there was another interpreter, and Mark. And it was the littlest car I've ever been in my life. And we were jam-packed in this car, and we were going along for about 3 hours on the dirtiest road you ever did see, in the middle of Africa, and I'm thinking, I'm never getting home from here. I can just tell I'm done. This isn't good. All of a sudden, we had a flat tire. Oh, now I'm thinking, where would the flat spare be in this vehicle? There's no spare here. But they had a spare, and we're waiting for them to jack the car up and all that stuff. They're having all kinds of trouble. And I said to Hazel, I said, I don't know, but we're here for a reason. There's no reason we should have had a flat tire, but we're here for a reason. Well, she said, why don't you preach to these folks? And as it turned out, what I realized is that we were standing in front of a bar. And the bar was open. It was an outdoor bar. It was like a tiki hut, but it was still a bar, maybe six stools. And there was a lady standing over here, and then the bar lady and all these, there's a couple of gentlemen there. So there was maybe six or seven people that I was preaching to. So I just preached a very simple message. Jesus came. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And of course I yelled it, because back then I was really into yelling. And I said, and Jesus is Lord, and I just did the very simple gospel. And I said, one thing I could tell you about my Savior Jesus is that he died for you and me. And he said he'll confirm his word with signs following. And I said that, and I said, what did I just say? And this lady with no shirt on in the back ran behind the tiki hut, brought her daughter up to the front, and said that this is my deaf daughter, please pray for her. I'm thinking, well, now that's not fair. She doesn't even have to have faith. All the faith has to come from me. That's not true. All the faith has to come from Jesus. Because it's my job to preach the word, it's Jesus' job to heal the sick. It is not my job to heal the sick, it's my job to pray. So I prayed. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let your ears be open. And I put my hands on her, things like that. And she began to say all these weird words, sort of things. But they weren't words. It was for the first time she'd ever heard, and she couldn't make any noise that made sense. She was just figuring out that her lungs and making a noise came from her throat. Her mother broke down in tears. And I said, and that was, the tire was fixed. And we had to go. Did God leave a little deposit at a little bar in the middle of nowhere? Yes. I got a picture of that. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. I would like to show it to you, but since we moved, it seems I haven't found it. But I got a photograph of me praying for this little girl, and it was the same Bible right here. This one here. That's why I don't get rid of it. There's something special to me. It's not a fetish. I'm not going to throw it away because it's not an idol. But it is God's word, and it's special to me. So healing is an incredible gift. If you get the gift of healing moving, and you feel a healing happening to you, and you don't even have something wrong with that area, but you feel something happening, like a heat or something like that, that's the gift of healing trying to flow through you. And if you will let somebody know, if you'll let the congregation know, there might be somebody who's just waiting for God to heal them. And that connection can cause a miraculous thing to happen. Did I hear any amen? Do you believe that? The gifts of God are not for the faint of heart. I mean, it takes a lot of gumption within to decide, oh, I'm going to stretch, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to give a word. Shortly, we're going to ask the worship team to come forward, but I do have just a few more to go through, and I'm going to go through them very quickly. Miraculous powers. I brought along these handkerchiefs would fall into miraculous powers, where it said that Apostle Paul, when he preached, anointing. And when we have these up here, and where the anointing is in the word, when it's being worship time. And I'm going to ask you guys today to do something a little bit strange. We're going to stretch our spiritual faith a little bit. I want you to pray for the anointing of God to come on these cloths, just like it did for Apostle Paul. And then, if you know somebody who's not here today, who needs comfort from God, healing from God, who are troubled by tormenting spirits, I want you to take cloth to them. Because the Bible says that many were healed, and those who were troubled by spirits were relieved from the spirits. You know, the reason it's kind of important to me is I had a nephew who passed away on us, had stomach cancer, and we gave him a cloth that our church had prayed over. And he had that thing and took it to him to the grave, unfortunately. But it gave him such comfort. I believe those spirits that were tormenting him were put at bay by the cloth. I don't understand why he didn't get healed. That's not me. It's not my it's not my job. But my job is to observe that the healing cloth did something special to him. And my father-in-law, Shelley's dad, when we gave him a cloth, he rubbed it on his head and held it close, precious to him, because he knew the whole church had prayed over that cloth. And he couldn't get there, but he knew that the believing church was praying for him, and it meant so much. This cloth could mean something to somebody who's not here. If you want to take one after we've done today, before you leave, just come up, put your hand on it, and say, God, anoint this cloth, this hankies, so that whoever they come in contact with would be healed, blessed, anointed, delivered. Can you do that? Anybody want to do that for me after the service is over, before you leave? I'm going to put them right over here. That would be miraculous gifts. Discerning of spirits is sometimes in the, when especially, you don't see it much here, but when you get into third world countries especially, you'll see demonic spirits regularly rising up in people, frothing at the mouth, doing all kinds of weird things. And it's usually because of a demonic spirit that they've allowed to come into their life through other gods and idols. Hello? Idols are an entry place for demonic activity to happen in people's lives. Ouija boards. Come on now, folks. If that's not demonic, I don't know what is. And you allow that thing to try to speak into your life. I'm not saying anybody here does, but I just think that's the most evil gift that you could ever want to have in your game closet. It's not a game. Let the world have those kind of games. Christians don't need those kind of games in their life. And then there are speaking in tongues. Congregational tongues are different than personal tongues. Personal tongues are called a prayer language. A prayer language is tongues that you use in your personal life when you're in a time of crisis. When you need an uplift in your life, you can use personal tongues, and that will give you, that is a prayer, praying in tongues. But congregational tongues are spoke out loud and demand interpretation. I said interpretation, not translation. Sometimes that gets confusing. It's not a translation, it's an interpretation of what the Spirit is saying to the body of Christ. This is what the Spirit is saying to the body of Christ, and it's much more general in terms than a translation. A translation would be word for word, exact. So in other words, if somebody spoke in tongues and it was a German dialect, somebody here might understand it and be able to give the translation, but it also might be understood by somebody who has an interpretation, and both might be similar but not exactly the same. Understand me? And then, so the interpretation is also a gift, and then not to be confused with praying in tongues. So I just wanted to clarify that in verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, and my mind is unfruitful. So then what shall I do? I'll pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with my mind. So we're supposed to do both. But in a public setting, it would be better if I spoke one word of prophecy than 10,000 words of tongues. Read the whole chapter. That's what it says. That whole, there's about 7 or 8 verses there that talk about that. The gifts of the Spirit are all important when we're together. Tongues is nothing. Tongues is the least of the gifts. However, in my personal life, in my prayer language is very, very precious to me. I don't think I'd really like to try to live without it. It is the most important thing. It's the thing that edifies me inside, especially when I don't know how to pray. It's the thing that keeps me going on tough days. It's the thing that keeps me going. So I think both are... Paul said, I would that you would all speak in tongues. I speak in tongues more than all of you. Do not forbid the speaking. Do not forbid the speaking of tongues. It's an important gift. However, when it's spoken out loud in a congregation, it must be interpreted. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a really a phenomenal thing for it to happen in the body of Christ. Because when it's interpreted, the interpretation happens at the time of the giving of the tongues. So somebody speak the tongue out loud in the body, the interpretation should come now, not before it was given. I know I've been in congregations where that's happened. In our church, actually, I've seen that happen. No, the tongue comes as a result of the prophetic word or the interpretation of the tongues happens at the time that the tongue is given, not before. And you may have to sit there for a few minutes in order for it to sink in, but usually at exactly the same time. So the person giving the tongue, and all of a sudden you're getting a word from God. That's time for you to speak up. That is an interpretation of that tongue. All right, we'd like to have the worship team come up. I want to quickly go to Acts 19, and we're going to end here. And then we're going to do a little bit of ministry time together. I want to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to us through you guys. And if you have a word, I want you to come forward, come up here, and that's submitting to the leadership. That'd be Pastor Ray, Pastor Cam. They're not here, so it falls to me today. And we're going to see what the Spirit of God has to say to the church today. But in verse 11, it says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Handkerchiefs and aprons that were touching him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Is that getting any clearer than that? That's why we pray over these cloths today. That's why you're going to participate in that. And during this time of worship, you can come up any time during that time of worship and put your hand on there and be part of that gift so that we can, whoever needs it at the end of the service, can take one with them. But we want everybody to participate in that. If you possibly could come up, just put your hand on those hankies, take it upon yourself to pray, and say, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, for an anointing of the Holy Spirit to come on these hankies. Okay? That's what you're going to pray. It also says up here in Paul, it says, when Paul, this was when, do you remember there was some disciples who were John's disciples? And this is the story about John's disciples. It says, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told people to believe in the one coming after him. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, this was a prayer tongues. And the reason I know that is because they weren't interpreted. And they all spoke. There was 12 of them. And they all spoke in tongues. So that would be like in a prayer setting. It was very prayerful. And they prophesied. Each one of them were prophesying, building each other up. They had a tremendous amount of the word in them from John the Baptist. And they were all in all, about 12 men in all. All right? So we really laid a foundation. Stand up. Let's worship together. Now what's going to happen here is during the worship time, if you feel you got a word from God, come on up. Now we're going to wait until they finish a chorus or finish, and they'll quiet down, and then you'll give your word, okay? All right, let's worship God first and invite the Holy Spirit. It's time. This is the time. It's time to be used by God. I know this is unusual, but you can do it. Don't be afraid.
Just really sense if someone here has got pain in their back, be their left hip area, if that's you, just want to ask you to come forward. I'd like to pray for you.
So if you've got that pain in your hip on your left side, it's your turn to connect the dots. Allow yourself to receive a healing. Oh, there we go. Amen. Who else got a word? You got a word? Come on.
You are the light to my heart and my soul.
Just wait till the band quiet down.
You are the light.
I was really, really tormented, and I was praying a lot about forgiving those who that I've been forgiven, and I forgive others. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't know what to do because I needed to work the next day. But the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors. And I didn't know what to do, but I've been praying that for quite a while, the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. And believe it or not, as soon as I said, I just forgive those that I felt owed me, that whole thing vanished immediately.
Thank you, Jesus. That's such a good word. Amen. The word of forgiveness. Does that encourage you today? A word. You know, the body needs you. You know, I don't know anybody who's ever been born again who doesn't feel that they need to be used by God. You need to be used by God. God needs to use you. It's all part of being the body. Amen. Some of you got a word burning. I guess I need to ask God who it is so I can embarrass you a little bit. No, I don't want to embarrass anybody. That's not what God does, right? God doesn't do that, does he? Okay, I got rebuked by the lady. Yes.
Corra besi por yante shinotarie ki posso kumi elesti torosso. Oh, your Heavenly Father just wants to know that He loves each and every one of you so much. He loves you. He does not want you to live in fear of anything because He is there for you. He wants to walk you through it. And He wants to tell you today that if you have fear that you are living with, that He wants you to come forward this morning and have that broken off of you.
Amen.
For He does not want you to walk that way. He wants you to walk in love. He wants you to walk with joy. Because that what is the reason why He gave His Son is so that you could live and walk in joy. Hallelujah.
Amen. Just stay right here. You're going to pray. You're going to do the praying. This lady here is one of our most powerful intercessors in the church. If you have fear, that fear is not from God. It's time to come forward and deal with that thing right now. You come forward. Let her pray for you. Amen. 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 Who else has a word? I think some of these teenagers do, but they're quiet.
Brad?
Yes. Yes.
I just got a really big picture from the Lord. Who has grown corn or tomatoes? When you grow it and the stalk grows real tall, the wind doesn't just knock it over. Like you can't actually just lightly try and pull it out. And the Lord loves you so much that He just takes your feet and just plants them in the soil so deep that He doesn't want you to be tossed around with the whims of media and all the different attractions in the world, because some of them are really pretty and some of them sound cool. Like some music has a good beat, and then you hear the words and you think, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm just singing that. But He doesn't want you to toss and turn and be flung around like that. He wants your roots to go down deep so that the water deep down gets His water. His flowing river water goes up into you and keeps your stalk so strong. Your soul inside so strong.
Man, do you feel like that word was for you? You feel like your roots aren't deep enough? Maybe God's calling you to have deeper roots today. Man, I don't know what that Brad guy was preaching today. He was way out there. I don't know what he was talking about. But one thing I do know, I got to have deeper roots. Is that you? Do you need deeper roots? Do you need to dig deeper? Dig deeper into the Word of God? Yeah. Amen. I see that hand. Yes. Amen. Amen. Is there another word out there? We got lots of time, folks. I'm not taking your time. Why don't you sit down? Sit down. Sometimes you hear better from God if you're sitting. Amen? Amen? Who else has a word from God? Yeah, it's been bugging you for quite a while now that God's been wanting you to say it, but you haven't been doing it. You haven't prayed for the Hankies yet? Come on. You've got to participate. We're a body. We're a body. No one's more important in this body than you are. Every part is important. Every part of the body has a word. Every part can be used by God. Amen. Have you got a word? Two? Or are you just enjoying the presence of God? Amen. 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 Well, did you get something out of this service today? Put your hand up. God speak it to you? God speak it to you? You know what? You're important to God. If you get nothing else out of this sermon, you're part of this body, you're part of this church, your feet are planted on solid ground, and God wants to use you to affect the kingdom of God. He wants to use you to do something special in the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question. Can God do anything without people? Why would He? Why would He? That's the very reason why He created us. So that He could use us to do spiritual works of kindness and acts of love to one another. If the word that you receive today isn't encouraging, doesn't lift you up, it's not from God. But it's an encouraging word today. God wants to use you. No one is more special than anybody else. You're special to God. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, man, that was better. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Father God. We just did anybody else have a word before I never turned around much. Just anybody else? Okay, thank you. Thanks so much. Appreciate that extra work for today. Father, we're just so thankful for...
Yeah, we're just going to say something. Just, you preached on the gift.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we've got prayer teams and prayer ministry. And you know, there's some of you that may want to be released in some of the gifts. Like, this is your time. Come forward and let the body pray over you. I'll stay as long as you want. I'll pray for you. But trust me, God wants to use you more than you want the gift. So don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to come forward and receive that gift from the Spirit. And Father, we just thank you so much for the worship team today. They went above and beyond, and such a beautiful worship time we had with you. We ask you to bless, anoint each of them, Lord God. And we just give you the praise and the glory for that in Jesus' name. As the people are dismissed today, let them be encouraged to go in the back room and have some coffee together. Enjoy your time together with this body. And share the word of God with each other in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.